You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
To speak about Jehovah Shalom or Yahweh Shalom, and so we want to talk about this. The word Shalom means peace, and so we're going to look in Judges 6 verse 24. When I was a young person, listen, when we mention the word peace, peace is not really an exciting subject. It's not one of those subjects that we really get excited about, you know, peace. And there's a reason for that, you know, because I was thinking about myself, you know, growing up, I remember I'd be playing the music loud in my house and I'd be, you know, rapping to myself, trying to following this music and that. And my mom, turn that music down. And if I'd be going on, you know, kids always going on and talking and kicking things and doing all types of things, I can kind of picture my mom saying, "Look, I need some peace and quiet. Can you get, you know, parents, because parents know about that." And so, you know, what we think about peace is almost like, it's like this old person thing, you know, it's like peace and quiet. You know, that's how we can identify this. But I want to tell you today, before we go any further, that peace is more than the absence of noise. This peace that the Bible is talking about is not just peace and quiet. It's more than the absence of noise. It's more than just tranquility. So let's get straight into this. Judges 6 verse 24. The Bible says, "So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, 'The Lord is peace.' To this day, it still stands in Ophrah at the..." There you go, that place, wonderful. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace, your mercy, your presence. I pray, Father, that you would reveal yourself in your name. We know that you and your name are one. We know that you and your word are one. And I pray, Father, that this would be more than just a theological exercise, but Father, it would help your people, minister to your people. Most of all, glorify your son, Jesus. We desperately need to see him more and more. And all God's people said with a loud, victorious Wednesday voice. Amen. Wow, that was, I like that, man. Amen. More than just peace and quiet. The Bible is speaking, this is the first time we see this. This is Gideon uses this word. If you know anything about Gideon, Gideon exists in a time where God's people are basically, they disobeyed God as they continually do. And so what's happened is that they're on the bottom peg. They're kind of being bullied. And so here is Gideon. And the Bible says that God calls Gideon. And Gideon kind of makes some excuses. He says, "I'm the least in my father's house. How can I really do anything?" And he asks a question. He says, "God, where are the mighty miracles that we've read about of old?" You got to remember, this is now after them coming out of Egypt. This is after... you know, seeing the Red Sea and all of this split. This is in the book of Judges. And so they've heard about all these mighty things that God brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand, but he's not seeing any manifestation of the miraculous. How many have ever felt that? That you're reading your Bible and you're reading about these powerful things, and then you look at your life and think, where is it? Is it just me? Oh, it's one of those Wednesdays. Okay. We started so well, and then who knows? God is still in control. Amen. Okay, quickly move on. The Bible shows us is that this is the first place where God reveals himself as Jehovah is peace, or Jehovah Shalom, that God is peace, the peace of God. And like I said in the introduction, this is more than just quietness. This word peace, what it means is a completeness, a soundness, welfare. The word can be translated in Psalms 4 verse 8. It's translated as safety. The word peace is translated as safety. Also in Psalms 35 verse 27, it's translated as prosperity. So it's the same word, this word shalom. It means more than just quiet. It can mean safety, prosperity. This is why I'm saying we've got to unpack this word, because we're thinking, you know, think about that. God is the God of peace, like, you know, just quiet. And no, that's not what he's talking about. He's saying, I want to give you much more than that. The Bible shows us that it makes a big thing about this word peace. If you've read the New Testament, all the time, I mean, it's just picking out one, Galatians 1 verse 3, grace to you and peace from God. All throughout, you'll see Paul keep saying this, grace and peace, grace and peace. And what that shows us is that as Christians, how many of you are a Christian? Amen. You're sure you're a Christian? Hallelujah. Hands go up. What that means is you've received grace. How many know we need grace to be a Christian? It's not of our own works, but with grace comes peace. That's part and parcel of it. There should be also peace with that grace. The way that I could describe the word, so that you would get a fuller understanding of it, is the word harmony. And this is the word peace, that your life is in harmony. Everything in your life has a certain harmony to it. And we understand a harmony. I'm not going to sing a harmony, but praise God. But you can hear when someone sings a harmony, it's like a multiple of people singing, and it's like there's some beauty, there's different things in there, but they're all in the same one accord. There's a beauty to it. But when you're not in harmony, things are not in harmony, you don't have to know music to know something's not right. How many ever? Never here. Come on now. But just other places, amen. You can hear, hold up, something's not right here. Something's not right here. You know, people, you hear something. Well, this is what it is. This to be in harmony. And what this means is that your life has a certain harmony to it. And this will bring strength. This will bring strength. This peace that the Bible speaks about, it brings a strength to your life. Because things are in harmony. Things are complete. There's a completeness about your life. It's not fragmented. Also, it brings a protection. This harmony creates a protection around you, keeping that harmony, an effectiveness. We're talking about success and joy. See, this is what everybody is looking for. Every single person here is looking for this peace that the Bible is saying is God's name. You are looking, whether you know it or not, you may not have started walking. Listen, you don't hear people talking about, yeah, I need, you know, I just want peace or all of these things. But people are looking for, you see it, let me explain in a modern way how you see it, and how the world wants to offer it to us. There is a thing that, in marketing terms, and everything we see in the West anyway, is branded. There is a brand. And what they realize is, the marketers and the advertisers, that you buy into a brand. And so Nike, they realize that you buy into a brand. And so everything obviously is athletic, everything is fashion, everything is healthy. Usually you do not see somebody obese, overweight, smoking, eating donuts, watching, soap operas, where, you know, on a Nike advert. How many of you wouldn't see that? That's because that's not the brand. What you see is people that are super slim. Super slim, and you know, they're like the trainers made them like that. No, you were skinny, you were born skinny, you're the skinny. That's they know, they don't care if you what you were bought barefoot, you'd still be skinny like that. But that's how it is. It's a brand. If I buy it, so what it is they're putting into it. If you buy this, you're gonna be like that. And so, aftershave, you'll see an aftershave advert in a magazine sometimes when I'm on the plane flying, you know, they got the magazines in the plane, and you're looking through what you could buy this, and so they'll have a Chanel, and so they'll have a guy in a smart suit, super smart suit, and he's getting out of a nice car, and he's got nice luggage, and he's going to get onto his private jet, and he's got a nice watch and a nice this and a nice that. And so people are looking at this because they're thinking, if I buy the aftershave, that's going to be me. That's going to be me. Everything is in harmony. He's like, yeah, he looks like he's got it all together. And that's what it is. You're buying into the brand. Never, you know, anyway, I'm not going to say it. Or sometimes, have you ever seen when they're building the new houses? And they put the billboards up. They put the wood around where they're building the house. And then they'll have a couple in the kitchen like. And, you know, the beautiful furniture. Again, they're super slim. The guy's got a six pack and the woman is super beautiful. Her hair's perfect. And what they're saying is, if you bought this flat, that would be you. You could be living like this. No, you go in there with your same greedy self. But what it is that what they're trying to give us is this, they brand it, and what they're smart because they say, look, let's put it all in harmony. Let's show them, look, if they get this, their life will be in harmony. Everything is together. Everything is a brand, and you buy into it. Because what we want is peace. What we want is our life to be in harmony with other things. But the reality is that peace comes from God. Man cannot give peace. Listen, you can move into that flat, and your life will just be as traumatic as it ever was. Just as traumatic as it ever was. We could put that aftershave on you, and you know, that it's not all of us. Your life is still a mess. The peace of God. See, to know God is to know peace. This is who He is. To know God. When you really know God, when you know Jehovah Shalom, when you know your God as Jehovah Shalom, you will know peace. See, this is why we're going through the names, Jehovah Jabba. When you know God, you know provision. When you know Jehovah, you know God who wants relationship with that which He created. Many people, again, they may know God and worship God and come to church, but they've never really encountered Jehovah Shalom. Your God is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. So that means if you know God, you know peace. But it also says the opposite is true. No God, no peace. So if you know God, you will know peace. If you have no God, you will not have peace. And to escape that non-peace, to escape the disharmony of life, the world has also invented drugs. Do you know what drugs are? Drugs are to escape the disharmony of your life. That's what it is. It's to escape the disharmony of life. And people, we know that people... this is why people will take a drug that is destroying them. Smoking, drinking. People that drink alcohol. It's to bring, it numbs you to the disharmony of your life. So you're blinded by it. And so people are looking for escapisms. Because their life has no harmony to it. You have no shalom. You do not know God to know peace. So what it is, and listen, there is nobody, no, that's not true. It is true, because I was the bigger drunkard. Because my life didn't have this inner peace. I never had it. And so every night I'm getting drunk. Every night. And once I get drunk, I forget. It's like I'm blinded by this disharmony, and now I enjoy life. I feel good about myself. I feel good about my friends. I feel good about my life. Because the mere fact is this, it just blinds you. You're dulled. And then the problem is that you can do that Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday you get up, you awaken to the disharmony of your life again. And you can't wait. I can't wait to get drunk again. To escape from this disharmony. And this is why we see people, hey, you wicked sinner, filthy drunkard. The reality is the drunkard is someone who's trying to escape. They're like, my life is just full of disharmony. And when I drink, I escape from it and it feels a harmony to it. It feels like, yeah, I can escape for a moment. This is the deadliest place where mankind is. See, people lack peace and it plays out in their life. We see that many people have no peace in their family. They have no peace in their family. There's always turmoil there. They have no peace at work. They've got beef with people and arguing with people. And dare say there are some people here, you have beef with people in church. You have problems with people in church. I do not understand that one. I can understand sinners and family, you know, you could be saved, they're not saved, they're getting on your nerves. Well, I can understand that one. I can understand work, people are, you know, they're not saved. But I don't understand how people in church can have beef. I don't understand that. You know, really, it makes no sense to me. That we can be under the same God, within the same fellowship, under the same roof, and we do not have peace together. We do not have, we haven't been able to reconcile. Marriage, how many times? Listen, there are people that have no peace in their marriage. You know what the Bible says in Romans 12, verse 18? If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, let's break that down. Can we break it down? It's Wednesday anyway. We can break things down on a Wednesday. We can go deeper. Amen. Brother just went, yeah, come on. So I've got the thumbs up. I'm going to go a little bit deeper. If at all possible, what does that mean? Let's expound that. It means if you can, do your best to try. You got to do everything you can. If it's possible, if there is any avenue, try it. Go down it. Do it. If there's a possibility, meaning that don't just say it's impossible. You've got to try and find out if it is possible. Then he says, as much as depends on you. This means that anything you can do to bring reconciliation, you need to do it. Anything within you, if there's something you haven't tried yet to bring reconciliation, God says you're living disobedient and you're disobeying him. Yeah, it's not that I haven't. Yeah, but I don't want to try it because it's humiliating. He said you should try it. He said you should try it. But it's humbling. You should try it. See, can we be honest tonight? Can we be honest? Most of us haven't tried all the avenues. You know what we've tried? We've tried what we liked, and when it became uncomfortable, we stopped. I'm not doing that. No. Listen, I'm not doing that. I don't know who they think I am. Listen, I don't need them. I come up in here, I don't need to talk to you. I'll sit over here, you sit over there. I'll shake your hand, I don't need to shake her hand. They can go to your fellowship, but she ain't coming to my fellowship. Yeah, I don't want to hang with him. No, you need to do everything within your own power. If you haven't done everything in your own power, this is what's going to happen, yeah? If you don't do everything in your own power, God's going to say, why didn't you try that? What are you going to say to God? If God says to you, why didn't you try that? You didn't try that. Yeah, but that would have made me humble myself. They didn't. No. He said, whatever depends upon you, not them. Whatever depends upon you, you need to bring peace. See, many of us, there are people that, you know, they have no peace with others. There are some people that are always in beef. You ever met people that are always in beef with somebody? Let me just throw this out there. Maybe this is you. You're always in beef with people. Could you maybe take, let's just slow down. Let's slow everything down. Slow down. Peace. Could it be you? Could it be, like maybe? Could it be you? That's the problem. Why is there no peace with people? There's no peace with people because there's no peace with yourself. When you don't have peace with yourself, you will never have peace with others. Well, what does he know? Why is he preaching like this? James 4:1. I think this is a different translation there. I put it in there last. But what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this? And then he goes on and he speaks about yourself, man. It's within you. See, peace with people many times comes from peace within yourself. You need to have peace in yourself. Sometimes you're warring in yourself. You know, let me say this. So many times people treat us bad, or they do things wrong to us, or they let us down. And you know what we jump to? Let's be honest. We naturally just, why did they do that to me? Why are they treating me like that? Do you know sometimes they are going through problems in themselves? In themselves, they're going through problems. In themselves, they have their own insecurities. Sometimes what you've got to do is step back and think, maybe they're going through something. Maybe someone came in today and they treated you a bit, yeah, okay, yeah. And you're like, "Cha, why are you treating me like that?" But you don't know what they've gone through today. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what they worry about. You don't know what we should all be living the victory. We should all be, walking with Jesus by our side and all of that. But sometimes we're not. And there are people that, you know, at different stages of their development, different stages of their walk with Christ, some of them, it is their own fault. But some people, they feel like giving up. They feel depressed. They feel suicidal. They feel lonely. They feel insecure. They feel there's no hope for their life. They feel shameful. Some people, to come into the house of God, they feel ashamed. Just because of the way they are. And yeah, God is going to bring them through. And they may treat you a certain way. It might not be about you. But we take everything personal. Hey, why are you treating me like that? Yeah, try to treat me like that. Yeah, yesterday you was happy with me. Now you want to treat me like that. Don't come around here. It's not you. Not all the time it's you. That's how, because you know what it is? It's pride. Because we think we're the center of everything. As the pastor, many times people may treat me a certain way. And I have to realize, hold up, catch myself. Corny, man, they're just going through their own thing. How dare they treat the pastor like that? I'll never treat my pastor. You know, get it together, bro. They're just going through their own things. They're just dealing with their own insecurities. You know, some of the most insecure people always try to act like they got it all together. Some of the most insecure people are the loudest people. Yeah, hey, how are you doing? Hey, what's going on? But under it, they're masking. They're masking. They're broken. They're begging, God, help me. I don't even deserve to be in this place. I'm ashamed of what I'm doing and what I've done. See, to have peace with people, you've got to have peace with yourself. And to get peace with yourself, you must be at peace with God. See, it starts with God. If you're at peace with God, you're at peace with yourself. It doesn't matter how you look. You could be short, you could be tall. You could be bigger, you could be smaller. You may be far, you may be clever, you may be this, you may be that. But when you got peace with God, you're like, yeah, this is me. God loves me. Yeah, well-being. It's trying to be healthy, but this is me. Because God loves me. I'm at peace with me. Because I'm right with God. But there are some of you, you know, the problem is not the church. The problem is not your spouse. The problem is you and God. Problem is you and God. And because there's a problem with you and God, you're insecure about everything about yourself. And now it's pouring out that now there's beef with everyone around you. I've seen people that they themselves have been hurt and God's got to heal them. See, let me show you how do we really establish peace with God. There are two things that I really believe. If you want peace with God, two things. One is this. Repentance brings peace with God. Repentance. Repentance, because the Bible says, before we became Christians, we were enemies to God. We were enemies. So think about this now. That's like, you know, and you're fighting a war, shooting your gun. They're shooting at you. You're enemies. And then one of you waves the white flag. I surrender. And then you're like, all right, all right. Let me check this out. And you, okay, so you're so far, yep. Okay, there's peace. You tell these guys, it's peace. Peace. The war is over. But you can't wave the white flag while you're shooting. I surrender. What's that? This is the point I'm making. You can't have peace with God until you've repented. You're not going to have any peace with God until you ask Him to forgive your sin. This is how it works. Until you confess, you'll have no peace with God till you confess that which you are doing. If you're in the house of God and you're living morally unclean, you're committing sexual sin. We don't know. Be nice if we had a detector, wouldn't it, at the door. With, you know, Bluetooth to my iPad. Hey, so really, hey, bro, can I speak to you? I'd love that. Imagine if I said Sunday it's going to be installed. I think the numbers might drop. You're living sexually immoral. You're compromising. That's like war on God. It's like war on God. You've said, listen, war, God, I'm warring with you. I'm not doing what you told me to do. No, I won't do it. You've committed war on God. How can there be peace then? You're stealing, you're lying, you're committing sins. Whatever it is, unforgiveness, bitterness. How can there be peace when you commit war? If you come up and attack me right now, there's not going to be much peace up here. And the same thing is if you're living a life which you're, no, there's no peace with God, there's no peace in yourself, and there's no peace with your fellow man. You need to repent today. You need to call sin, sin, and say, God, I know what I'm doing is wrong. I'm going to stop doing it. Because until you do, you'll have no peace. And because until you have peace within yourself, there's going to be turmoil, and it always plays out. Always plays out. Repent of sin is the first thing that brings peace. The second thing that brings peace is faith in the cross of Jesus Christ. Faith in the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that God hates sin. He despises it. He can't even look in it. When you realize how holy God is, and then you realize how sinful we are, quite easily you can slip into condemnation. But boy. And then what it is, you're always trying to work at your salvation. You're always trying to work at your salvation. Like, okay, I'm going to come to church. I'll come outreach, I'll get involved, I'll give money. You're trying to work at your salvation. No, your sin has been paid for by what Jesus did on the cross. Simple as that. That brings peace. Because listen, some of you here, you've done shameful. There are women here, you've done shameful things. A woman should never do those things. There are men here, you've done shameful things. And they repeat upon you. You know, like when you eat something spicy and it, oh, I hate that. That's what some sin does, that it repeats on you, a shameful action. Sometimes you go, oh my days. At that point, you've got to believe in the cross. Say, no, that's been paid for. That person that did that is dead. They're dead on the cross. This person is the new me. I'm a new person, man. That's what the Bible says. I'm a new person. That takes faith. That takes faith. See, we live by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Some of the most judgmental Christians that I've ever met are people that they themselves don't believe they're truly forgiven. They themselves don't believe they're truly forgiven. That's why they're always measuring everything that we do. They're always trying to find, catch people out. Yeah, where were they? Who was that? We understand. We need to deal with sin. When there's sin in the house of God, we got to deal with it. Listen, even if there's secret sin, God will always expose it. Nobody gets away with anything. But I'm talking about people in themselves. Listen, you got to believe you are forgiven. That shameful action has been cleansed. You are a new person in Christ. It has been removed from you. Because when someone finds grace in the cross, they have peace. I'm forgiven. I'm at peace. Hey, you know what you did? I did do it. Listen, when the devil comes to me and says, yeah, you remember what you did? Yeah, I did do it. And I did a lot worse. But it's been forgiven. Beat it. Beat it, devil. I'm not going to sit here all night thinking about, oh, I did this. No, it's on the cross. I've repented of it. So I've confessed it. I've repented of it. It's on the cross. I'm forgiven. And because I've received grace, I can give grace. Because I've received grace, I can give grace. Because I'm at peace with God and living in the love and the liberty of God, I'm like, yay. We can have peace with one another. Listen. Let's close. You find peace in God. The problem is this, church, many of us are looking for peace in the calm rather than in God. We are looking for peace. This peace that I've been talking about, going on about, we are looking for it in the calm of life. So when everything outside of my life is all together, and so, yeah, my job is all good. My job is perfect, wonderful. Now my marriage is perfect. Yeah, praise God. My ministry is perfect. Everybody's in line, perfect. My children, everything. My finances, my health. Ah, peace. Peace at last. I'm at peace. No, you're looking for peace in calm. Not in God. And when God reveals himself as Jehovah Shalom, listen what he says. He reveals it to Gideon. Now, I ain't got time to go into all of Gideon, but God comes down to Gideon and he reveals himself as Jehovah Shalom. So basically, God comes down and says, yeah, I'm peace. And then God says, I'm going to give you some orders. And what God goes and tells him to do is going to be the fight of his life. Huh? Hold up. I thought if God comes down and reveals himself as peace, he would give me 2 tickets to Hawaii. Hey, that's it, isn't it? God, hey, hi, Courtney. I'm the God of peace. Here's 2 tickets to Hawaii. Praise God. Woo! No. God comes down and says, hi, I'm the God of peace. Go to war. Go to battle. The Bible says that he tells him to go into battle. He tells him, listen, pull down the idols. Pull down the idols. These are the idols of his family. When you read it, they're going to kill him. They're going to kill him. He's going to pull down his idols because they're supposed to be serving God. But they've pulled up idols of Baal. And he says, listen, let's get 10 men. Let's pull them down. And this is confrontation. Many times God is going to reveal himself as peace in the midst of confrontation. You're in confrontation with your boss. You're in confrontation in your marriage. You're in confrontation with someone in church. God wants to come down and say, I'm the God of peace. I'm the God of peace. Then he tells Gideon to go into war. And if you know the story, he goes into battle and wins that battle. Listen, God's going to send you into some battles, some war. See, many of us can be waiting for the battle to end. Then the peace can start. No, God says, listen, I can give you peace in that battle. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Think about that. Think about what it says there. The Bible says God can, you could be have enemies, but when you're walking with God, there's peace with God, peace in yourself. The Bible says God can just give you peace. They may be warring with you, but God will turn it around. The Bible says in Philippians 4 verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. It passes all understanding. Listen, if you had peace because everything was tranquil on the outside, we would understand it. We would understand it. But it surpasses understanding. When you're going through a battle, when you're in the midst of confrontation, when you're pulling down your own idols in your heart, when you're worried about, God, I need to please you. God, I've got to make some sacrifices. I've got to do some things. And God is able to give you a peace. People, I don't understand how you could just be like that. I don't understand how you could just be serving God like that. I don't understand. That's peace. That passes all understanding. See, many of us, we've got bitterness that can easily be understood. We were hurt, so we became bitter. That's what the world does, isn't it? If you hurt me, I hate you. That's natural. You don't have to go far to find that. Just walk ahead, slap someone in the face. Actually, no, don't. Someone might try it. They're going to hate you. They'll probably fight you back. That's natural. But what about when you find somebody who's going through a battle of their life, the fight of their life, but inside, because what this is an inner peace, not an outer peace. Mark 4 verse 38 shows us an account of something that happened with Jesus. But the Bible says this, but he was in the stern, this is speaking about Jesus, asleep on a pillow, and he's in the boat. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Here are these disciples. They're in a boat. There's a storm around them. There's no calm, so to them there's no peace. But in the same storm, Jesus is sleeping. The Bible shows us is that the disciples are like us. Is that when there's a storm, we're running around. God, do you even care about us? God, where are you, man? How come I have to go through this? I've heard people actually accuse God. I've sat down opposite people. Why would God allow me to go through this? Not only that you sinned. You did it. Because when we got no calm, we have no peace. But we need to be like Jesus. Jesus is in the middle of the storm and he has peace. Jesus has peace in the storm. And the Bible says he's sleeping. How many know you got to have peace to sleep, man? He's just sleeping. So when there is no calm, he still has peace. And the Bible says he gets up and he speaks to the wind and the sea. And he tells them, peace, be still. Peace, be still. See, because it's in him. See, many of us, if we would have the revelation of who God is, we would speak to some of the troubling situations in our life. We would speak to some of those troubling situations in our life. And we would see more peace. One thing I got to give the disciples for is at least they went to Jesus. In your storm, where do you go to? You know what they didn't do? Jump out the boat. I mean, that's stupid. I mean, that would be stupid. You're in a storm, you jump out the boat. We'd be like, that's stupid. Why in your storm do you leave church? Why leave church? Why not run to Jesus? Run to Jesus. When God the whole thing about with Gideon, Gideon got scared because he saw the manifestation of God. The Bible shows us that throughout times, God manifests himself. It describes it as the angel of the Lord. This is not God showing you who he is in his fullness. This is a manifestation of God, meaning that he's revealed himself in a, I don't know, it doesn't physically describe him. We know that he didn't see God in all his glory, because the Bible says if you see God in all his glory, you'll die. So people get confused about this. They're like, but how can he see God? You know, but the Bible says that he saw God, and you know, no, he saw God manifest himself. God manifested himself. He punctured time from eternity. He manifested himself. I don't know. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. God can do whatever he wants. God can do whatever he wants. But Gideon gets scared. He says, boy, I saw God. I'm going to die. He says, I'm going to die. And the Bible says that God speaks to him. And this is just before he understands that he is Jehovah Peace. God says to him, peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. Three things God promises him. He says, peace. No fear. You will not die. We have all of those three things in Jesus. We have all of those three things in Jesus. In Christ, we have peace. In Christ, we have no fear. And in Christ, we will not die. God, in Christ, the only way you're going to know Jehovah Shalom is by knowing Christ and drawing closer to him. Amen. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.